Back with you again this evening. Appreciate so much those of you who are here. We have visitors. We have Kathy's son and his family with them with us tonight. Also, good to see Colton McDaniel and Warren King, who's come traveling through, and we appreciate them stopping by and being with us tonight as well. This has been a rough past year and a half. We've dealt with a lot of different things that have caused some difficulties in our lives. The pandemic and trying to keep from catching it. There are those who've had it. We've had several in the congregation who have passed away within the past year and a half, not with COVID, but it may be related to it. We've had several to leave. We've had to go to other places. We have had, various ones who have gotten sick, and just some difficulties in dealing with the situations. We've had the discipline of members, and that's hard. And we at times need to focus in on what God has promised us, and maintaining our faith and maintaining our joy, our hope during times such as this. And I know also the COVID, the Delta variant has increased. We have it increased. It's increased in this county. And so we're concerned about those things. And I want to talk a bit about that tonight. You know, God has never said that life would be easy. The road that we travel in life has its ups and downs, and that's just part and parcel of living in a world where sin has come. You know, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, death came into the world and all that is associated with death, pain and sorrow and grief. And this is true even for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. The choice to be a Christian does not make us immune to troubles and difficulties. God never promised that his children would be insulated from all the troubles of life. But God did promise his children that whatever life might throw at them, that he would provide comfort for them during these difficult hours. You know, Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The God that we serve is the Father of mercies, as he says here, the God of all comfort. He comforts us. We're able to take that comfort and comfort others. But exactly how does God do this? You know, in the Christian's hour of trouble or sorrow, how does God comfort his people? And that's what I want to talk about this evening, how God comforts the Christian. There are four things I want us to focus in on tonight. First of all, there is his presence. And Jerick and I didn't get together on the songs, but we sang about that this evening. Presence of God. You know, the Christian is comforted with the knowledge that God is always with him, that he is always in God's presence. Now, this does not mean that the Christian will be able to see him with his eyes, or that God will be able to softly whisper into his ear and he will be able to hear, or that we will be able to feel his embrace. But the Christian is assured that God's presence is always with him. You know, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." This does describe the omnipresence of God, that God is always there. And many times we use this passage to emphasize that we cannot go where God is not. that He sees all that we do, even our sins. He's aware of everything. But the emphasis here is He is there to help us, to provide for us. We have His presence in our life during times of trouble. Look with me also in Psalm 34, verses 15 through 18. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, the disciples of Christ are never alone. They live with God's watchful eye, looking out for them, and His ears waiting to attend when they cry out to Him. They're always in His presence. That brings us comfort. But how do we know this is true? How do we know that we are in the presence of God? Well, it's because He said it. He said it in His book, the Bible. And don't minimize the importance of that statement. You know, we are people of faith. We are people who believe that this book is the very words of God. There's overwhelming evidence to which we can appeal to demonstrate that this book comes from God. We understand that. When you consider the circumstances under which the Bible was composed, you come to realize that the men who wrote it could not have written it on their own. That they had to be guided by God in the writing of this book. You consider the fact that it was written over a period of about 1,500 years, by about 40 different writers who wrote in three different languages and different continents. They wrote about hundreds of controversial subjects. But when you put it all together, there's a common theme that runs from beginning to end. There's this continuity, this unity that points to the fact that the claim that these men made are true, that they were writing by inspiration from God. Consequently, when the Bible says that God is with His people, they're always, that He is always, or that we are always in His presence, we can know for certain that we're in His presence. Now, we don't feel Him. We don't experience Him with our senses, in the sense of Him embracing us, as we mentioned. But we know that we are in the presence of God because God said it. The second word I want us to talk about is I want to emphasize that not only are God's children in His presence, but that God works in their lives to provide them help with their troubles. We call this providence, God's working in our lives. We're not just in His presence, He is working in our lives. God does not simply hear the cry of the righteous, He delivers them out of their troubles. Again, let's go back to Psalm 34 that we read earlier in verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. How does God help the righteous? You know, He hasn't told us in every situation how He helps them. For example, when the righteous person prays for God to help the sick recover, what exactly does God do to help the sick person? We know that in most cases, they're not immediately recovered. They're not immediately made well, as when Jesus performed His miracles on certain ones when He lived here upon this earth. And when Jesus performed miracles, the lame man immediately was able to walk. The blind man was immediately able to see. The miracles that Jesus performed were instantaneous acts where God's healings and His power was immediately poured out upon them and they were healed. We We don't see that when we pray for those who are sick today. Well, we understand the distinction between Jesus' miracles and God still working in our lives today. The miracles were called signs. They were called wonders for the purpose of confirming a revelation, for the purpose of confirming Jesus' words that he was of God, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the miracles that Jesus performed was in order to prove that what he said was true. And as the apostles went out and they began to preach the gospel as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, how would men know that their words were the very words of God? Well, they would perform these supernatural, instantaneous, supernatural acts, which were signs that these men were of God and that what they were proclaiming were the very words of God. Now that revelation has been completed. We now have the completed, confirmed Word of God. We have the testimony of the miracles that were done, and there's no longer a need for the miracles. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 indicates that when the revelation was completed, the miraculous gifts would cease. But the point I'm wanting to make is the fact that miracles have ceased does not mean that God has ceased to work in his people's lives. The Bible simply does not reveal how God works behind the scenes to help his people. But we know that he does because he says that he does, that he works in our lives. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul mentioned persecutions and afflictions which happened to him in Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. And then he says, notice, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, how did God do that? How did God deliver him from these troubles? Well, we don't know exactly in every respect, but an example of this is given in Acts chapter 14 when a violent attempt was made in Iconium by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone Paul and Barnabas. You remember. And the plot became known to them, and it says they fled to Lystra and Derbe. They escaped the stoning. Now the question is, how did it become aware to them? We don't know how it became aware and how the plot was exposed, but we do know that it was a part of God delivering them, God's providential working in his life to deliver him from these troubles. God took care of him. God took care of his people. We may not know all the different ways that God works behind the scenes of his children's lives to care for them today. We simply know that he does. God hears the prayers and responds. God always answers. Sometimes he says yes to our request. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. But he always responds in the best interest of his people. The Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And so this providential care is a source of great comfort to us. And so we have his presence. But we also have his providence, his working within our lives. And keep in mind, things may not work out in the way we think God ought to work. But because of our faith in him, because we trust him, we know that he is working, and we know he does what is best, and therefore we can have comfort, and we can have peace in our troubles. But the third thing that I want to mention, this comfort only grows as we consider that God is not just another friend who cares about his children, who wants to help his children, but also he is an all-powerful creator. In other words, he has the power. He is able to do the things that we need and provide the things that we need in life. He's the all-powerful creator. And so he's not just willing to help, he is able to deal with any challenge or trouble that his children may face. Let me ask you, what problems do you have that is too big for God? Can you think of any problem that you would have that would be too big for him to handle? You know, when God told Abraham that his wife would bear a son, it says that Sarah laughed. You remember in Genesis chapter 18? Now Sarah was 89 years old and beyond the age of childbearing. And do you remember God's reply? Notice what it says in Genesis 18, verses 13 and 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." You know, God made the world. He created everything. He could certainly enable Sarah in her old age to have a son. This power comforts his children when they put their trust in him. We know that he is able to take care of whatever problems we encounter. In Psalm 118, verses 5 through 9, the psalmist says, "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." You know, why is it better to trust God than to trust men? Well, men can't always fix the problems that we have, but God always can. This is why God's people are confident and comforted in their hour of trouble. They know that they have a God who is able to take care of their problems. You know, sometimes we fret because we make our problems bigger than they really are. We look at them only from our perspective. You know, what can we do as we think of our wisdom and our power? And we may say something like, "Well, I don't know if I can make it without her or him in my life." Or, "I just don't know if I will ever get well again." Or, "I just don't know how we will ever fix the problems in our marriage." And all along we could go to talk about, "I just don't know if we are able to handle this." But see, God's people have a different perspective. They seek the help of God with a confidence that he is willing and that he is able to help them. They see themselves tackling their challenges with God on their side, and it gives them a whole new perspective. It gives them optimism and confidence. What does it give them? It gives them comfort as they deal with whatever problem it then might be. But then also, God has provided us with his great and exceedingly great promises, and he comforts us with his promises. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, Peter says, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You know, God has given his children great and precious, exceedingly great and precious promises. We don't have time to list the promises that God has given us, but we know that he has promised that we can have whatever we need, the physical necessities of life, if we will seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, Matthew 6 and verse 33. He has promised a way of escape for every trial, every temptation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, that we'll be able to bear them. He has promised that he will never leave nor forsake his children, as we read earlier in Hebrews 13 verse 5. Jesus has promised that he is coming again to receive those who are his unto himself, John 14, verses 1 through 3. And on we could go to look at the great promises that the Lord has given. These promises and many others comfort us. These promises are all found in the Word of God. But to find this comfort, I have to pick up the book and read it and believe it. How sad that some never find the comfort God intends for them because they wring their hands in frustration rather than wrapping their hands and hearts around the book. God's people, in their hours of trials and grief and sorrow, get into the book. They rehearse the wonderful promises that these promises, the wonderful promises that God gives them, and that gives them hope. That is one of the ways in which God comforts His people. You know, God does not leave His children alone in their hours of struggle and grief. He provides them with comfort by His presence, by His providence, by His power, and His promises. You know, I will have to confess I don't handle this as well as I should. I find myself wringing my hands. What this tells us is that we have a God who cares. We have a God who has power to help. We have a God who will help. And He does work within our lives, even when I might think, where is He? Where is God? He's working. And faith means I believe that, I trust Him. And what that will give me during the times of trouble is comfort. It gives me confidence. And so during these times of difficulties that we've been going through, that we will even continue to experience, keep these things in mind. That you might find that peace, find that hope, find that comfort that God provides for us. There may be some here tonight who have struggled with troubles and you have not dealt with it in the proper way. Maybe those of our God's people. What I have to do in times such as that, I have to go to God in prayer with that penitent heart and ask Him to forgive me and to ask Him to help me to have the faith that I need to have in order to maintain my confidence and my trust in Him. You may need to do that tonight. You may need to go to God in prayer right now and ask Him to forgive you of your lack of faith and lack of trust. If you've had in your heart such turmoil that you have not had a peace and you don't have this comfort, maybe what you need to do is go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. And then ask Him to help you. Come forward and we'll pray on your behalf. That God will be with you. That He'll heal you, forgive you, that He'll help you. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians. You've never given your life to the Lord and you're dealing with the troubles of life without Him. Well, you can have a peace and a joy through whatever you may encounter if you'll come to Jesus. You give your life to Him tonight, and we encourage you to do that. Come to Him in faith, believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all your sins. Turn away from everything that is against God and make a commitment to obey Him in all things. And then if you'll make that commitment, confess your faith, and then be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, you will find forgiveness. You will find the cleansing of your sins, not because of any feeling that you have. It's because the Lord has commanded, has stated that when you obey these commands, that He will forgive you. And based on what He has said, you can be assured that He fulfills His promise. And then you have the good feeling, you have the peace, and you have the comfort, and you have the joy, because you've done what the Lord has commanded you to do to be saved. You can have that tonight, if you'll come and render obedience to Him. If you need to come, please come while together we stand and sing.